This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yeah, it's a privilege to share with you guys tonight about restoration. And it was so encouraging before at intercession, Yameka also mentioned the word of restoration that kept on coming up this last few weeks. And when I gave my slides in there at Jock, I saw Helmut this morning. The PowerPoint there also said restoration. And I was like, yeah, that is so cool. So I'm really trusting God tonight for restoration in our hearts and in our country and in our city. And however that looks like, I trust Him that we serve a personal God and that He will come and touch each one of us in a personal way. So before we start, I would just like to dedicate this time. Yeah, Father God, thank You that You are holy. You are King above all kings. You reign. And You are a God of love. And You restore. And Father, we are humbled tonight to be able to cry out to You, Father. Jesus, thank You that we are healed by Your stripes. Thank You that You made it possible. And Father, I trust for clarity tonight. Father, we trust for identity and purpose and truth and clarity where there's confusion and fears and doubt and lies. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Awesome. Cool. So when Ross asked me to preach on the book of Joel, I must say that is not a book, I don't know of you guys, but that you'd regularly read through. But it was such a cool journey for me to really go and one of my lecturers always said, worstel met die tekst, worstel met hom. And I really had to worstel with this text. And it was such a privilege doing it. So the title for tonight is The Road to Restoration. And that leaves, I know they are gone by this time, spring's already coming. But it just spoke to me in terms of seasons where we have absolutely no control over. Daai blaartjie gaan kleur verander wanneer hy soos hy moet in sy tyd. And just how God is in control of everything. So that is just the picture. But I want us to read from, so Joel is only 3 chapters. Just a bit of recap. Most of you are busy with the bookie. But we focused a lot about the locusts. Who of you know what's a locust now? I think we all know, but we know in detail. Kyk daai gesiggie, I know it now. And also the effect that it can have. And so the context of Joel is this tragedy that happened over years. So this is the context. So I would like to focus on the promise coming from that, after that, as well tonight. But we're going to look a bit about everything, at everything. So the road to restoration. The first slide I just want us to show, this is not out of the Bible, but I just want to see, someone once said, finally science catches up with the Bible. And it's so cool for me, this, that I could see in Joel as well happening. So this is a cycle of change for people and businesses, but we focus on the businesses now. So a lot of times there's shock, there's a tragedy in our life, there's something we don't understand. We can go into denial, and then awareness comes, and that is very uncomfortable. It's like this is, you're aware of something that you don't want to be aware of, like a blind spot or a reality check. And then heel onder comes acceptance. But before you get to acceptance, there's a struggle with trying to understand, coming to terms, even feelings of feeling depressed, or it's a hy gat af. Okay? And then you start experiment. Ooh, my Engels for now. Again, with stuff and trying to walk into this new belief that you are fighting this thing. And then you can go to searching and then integration. It becomes part of your life again. Okay, so having this thing in mind, we're going to look at the book of Joel as well and how that sequence can be seen there as well. And this is so cool because they use this to help people to get through grief or change, restoring things in their own heart. Okay, so we're going to look at... Sorry, ik mag gaan joggen, het gezegd voor jou. Thank you. So I just want to give us a bit of an overview. And the first part of Joel was the plague of the locusts. And that was something that happened. It happened. And it was a big tragedy. And it's a historic day. And then when we go to the call to repentance of return to me, we see the character of God. And there's also he speaks about another army coming. And that is also God, the day of the Lord that's coming. And this is like, I don't know who of you read it, but it's not like the tralila prankie. It's a bit like, it's hectic, you know, this army coming. And it says the day of the Lord will be great and dreadful. And then the future and the one of the greatest promises of all in the Hope, Old Testament, we'll see then. But I want us to just focus on the emotion part there. So in Joel, the beginning is mourning. So lament, cry out. That is words that you'll see in the beginning chapters, like learn how to lament before God and then rejoicing later. Okay. So we live in a culture where we want to feel good. Okay? Si lekker om nie lekker te voel nie. Okay? And I think we can all agree on that. So we just want to like, moenie vir my hierdie curve gee nie, man. I just want to jump from shock right to loop weer in hom in, you know? Because things can happen like that. And it can. But I heard such a powerful testimony the one day, like someone was at a radical, transformation, or he just repented and came to God. And he felt like he is willing to die for God. Right there, right now, done. Kamikaze pilot, it's just like, he'll die now. And he said, but the thing that was harder that he felt God asking him is, are you willing to live for me? And for us to live, we have to walk in this promise of restoration. Okay, so kom ons gaan. Eerste verse, wat ons, so the road to restoration, just to give you a bit of a summary of where we are going, is to wake up. Literally now, if anyone's sleeping, lekker, julle is nog by ons, okay? Wake up, lament, repent, and then the promise. To think, what's the promise? Receive the promise. Okay, so we're going to start with wake up. And I also want to phrase that with become aware. Let's get an urgency in our heart again. So in Joel 1 verse 5, it says, wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you drinkers of wine. Wail because of the new wine, for it has been snatched from your lips. A nation has invaded my land, a mighty army without number. It has the teeth of a lion, the fangs of a lioness. Okay, so that is what happened, like I said. And now in chapter 2, it's another army. that I spoke about. It says, the Lord thunders at the head of his army, His forces are beyond number, and mighty is the army that obeys his command. The day of the Lord is great, and it is dreadful. Okay, so this is, if you read it, it's like you rather want to like jump a lot of times to another scripture, or just, you weet, omkring die great part. But this is hope for us today, because this stirs a fear of God in our lives. And when we start fearing God, we will fear other things less. And the wake up part here, for when we look at that scriptures, for it has been snatched from your lips, the new wine. And I can't help asking myself, what has been snatched? What did ons al verloor? You know, what has been taken away from us that was actually ours? And it says, wail and wake up. And it's hard. It's like very hard words that. So to come to terms with, to ask God, make me aware of where I'm at. And when you are sitting here tonight and you feel like, but I don't, really don't have an urgency. We keep on saying, pray for the nations, pray for the country, but there's just nothing in you. That is another thing that we are trusting for. So the thing with this is sometimes we want to just like, you know, clap yourself and say, wake up. How do you do this? Okay, you're telling me to wake up, but how must I wake up? And we are trusting God tonight to stir in our hearts and give us an urgency for the burden in our hearts, that's in your heart specifically. And also to just become aware again of the day of the Lord that's coming, and just to remind ourselves and put our life in perspective of where we are at the moment in terms of this and an eternal perspective. Let's come to the next donkey joke. Okay, so Joel 2 verse 3 says, before them fire devours, donkey. Behind them a flame blazes. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden. Behind them a desert waste. Nothing escapes them. Just that part again. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden. Behind them a desert waste. Nothing escapes them. Tuesday morning at intercession, this picture came to mind, and it was, I don't know who of you saw that picture of the locusts, that's like miles. It's like when something like that happens, it's quite scary. It's like the picture really looked very scary. And I just saw us running in front of these locusts. They are coming and you are running, like that scripture says, before them the land is like the Garden of Eden. Okay, that was paradise. Okay, so we are looking at the Garden of Eden, the feeling good, this lekker daar, kos kom het weer terug daar, and all of this stuff is like chasing us, and we're just gunning for the Garden of Eden. And I just felt God's asking us to stop where we are, and to come to terms with where we are at. And that's scary. That's uncomfortable. That is giving up control. That is surrendering. That is trusting for a miracle. But that is a place of rest. That is a place of I'm done running. That is a place of I am where I am. God, thank you that you are here with me. Yeah, so with the wake up, it's almost become aware, come to terms with where you are at. And this is, I'm an exhorter, you know, so I just want to soek vir die silver randjie nou hier. You know, okay, why am I telling you this? Because there's a promise, okay, just hold on, just, you know. But I realized sometimes we just need to be and fully be where we are at. without looking already at sukha is silverainki onmiddellik. And that doesn't mean we need to be negative, but we need to check in. We need to wake up to reality. In our own lives, in our country, there's a lot of stuff that I do not want to look at, like the hunger kinders in Africa. And I don't want to, if I haven't been at Urban for a while, it's hard for me to go back because then I have to face it again. And this is something that we must trust God to wake up, to come to terms with where we are at, so that we can move, so that we can do something about it. So I want us to think about what does locust years look like? And more specifically, what does locust years look like in your life tonight? So I want us to focus actually on yourself tonight so that we can focus on the world out there. Because this is the stuff that keeps us from going. Love others as you love yourself. So come to terms with where we are at so that we have the courage to step out. So what does locust years look like? This can be fruitless years in your life. You feel like I've done all this for what? I don't see any fruit. Painful years. They can be lost. You could have lost a parent at a very young age or someone in your life or really be disappointed. You could have both parents, but they were absent or anything like that. A relationship, like it feels like it's lost years. It feels like the locusts, they just ate everything there. There's nothing, you know? There's some lost years for you. And then selfish years, where you feel like, how can I have been so shallow? Like you woke up and you feel like, oh, kon ek nie 5 jaar voor die tyd hierdie geweet het nie. Something like that. Or loveless years, you haven't met the right person and you feel like this is lost years for me. Like, or family conflicts, relational problems, or rebellious years. You knew you were disobedient, like, and you wish you could have that years back, or misdirected years, choices that felt like a dead end. Or you came to Jesus late in your life. Ek so dankbaar, die meeste van ons is nog jong, and I believe oom het al baie lang terug, but there's people that only come to Jesus when they're on their deathbed. And I think they can have a feeling of loss. Like, there's lost years in my life on earth. It's a reality. Or years of depression, where you're fighting depression and you're feeling like, this is lost years. I am not living fully. Or years of being religious. I have a few lost years of that. Ek is nou nog beteken wat ek moet wake up. And where I'm very like, nie die regte ding doen, but my heart is so far from what I'm doing. And years of offense. It's years that's stolen. It's years of unforgiveness. And this is not to put us all in a depro now tonight. It's just to come to terms with it, so that we can face it. And the beautiful thing of this is, when you look back of this on this years, you can see stuff that you learned out of it as well. And I think we tend to do that a lot of times. It's like, no regrets. No regrets. It's lekkerder to say that because it taught me this and this and this and this. And that is awesome. But sometimes that was lost years. And if we're quite honest, we would have wanted it differently. And God turns everything to good. But there's a place where we can say, Jesus, come and restore. Come and restore fully. How can He restore? Do we trust Him to restore in the way that He promises? And then can we receive that promise? And a lot of times when we're still struggling to receive the promise is because we're not owning up to this. We're not mourning about this. God says here, we can go to the next slide. Lament, put on a sackcloth, your priest, and mourn. Wail, you who minister before the altar. And that is so powerful. Wail, who? You who minister. Wow. So where does it need to start? Who needs to teach us how to lament, how to cry out, how to ask God, break my heart for what breaks yours? But we are so on autopilot that we're not in touch with what's going on here. And this is a scary thing to ask sometimes, but it's also so exciting. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, you who minister before my God. For the grain offerings and drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart. That means tear your heart, rip your heart, and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Okay, so if we ask ourselves, how do we need to lament? You know, I was always told, "Jong, as jy huil, huil jy alleen, as jy lag, lag almal saam." Okay, it's like, obviously, then it's good to laugh, you know. So, and we sometimes have this thing, and please don't become treurmaras now, you know, like just mourning about everything. But that scripture there that says, rend your hearts and not your garments. What does that mean? Rend your hearts and not your garments. We are good with, you know, yeah, it's fine. You know what fine means, eh? Freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Just saying. It's fine. To rend your heart. And this is something personal also between you and God. To just be honest before him. And this is not a place where we want to stay forever, you know. We want to walk in and receive the promises. But whatever that is that's keeping you from doing that, bring it to God. Even if it hurts. Even when it's uncomfortable. Even when it feels like you're not in control. Even when it feels like nou gaan jy bietjie te diep hier, hoor. Even then. And it says, even now, return to God. So bring those years before God and ask him to restore it. Okay, we can go to the next slide. So who and how? They said, well, you minister before the altar, rent your heart. We did that part. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. All your heart. How does that look like? That's vulnerable. That is bringing shame into light. And if you have a friend that you're trusting and you just want to say, pray with me. There's shame in my life. There's stuff that I don't want to say out loud because it's just too bad. And I have control over it, yeah. But if I say it out loud, I'm letting it go. If there's stuff like that, or shame from your past, or lost years, bring it into the light. And then without fear, it says, do not be afraid. He has done good things. Cry out to him. The volgende slide. When, even now, and why? Because he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relent from sending calamity. He is faithful, and he has done great things, and then also because of the promise that we're getting to. Do you think that is enough reason to do this? Tonight, even now, I don't believe God is calling us to go through life quite neutral, you know, just keep it here. I think he came to give us life and life in abundance. And I think our country, our city, and this world is crying out for people that looks alive. That actually looks alive, walking down the street. Who can say when it sucks, when they can be honest with where they are at, when they can share it because they don't find their identity in what they are going through, but people who can really live and came to terms with where they are at, who's willing to stop and let that locust run, you know, and say, even now, I will not be afraid because I know who my God is. And even if I don't feel like this at the moment, I can proclaim that God is good and God is merciful. And I will trust in that. And then the next slide is the promise. Okay, so what is this promise? I will repay you the years the locusts have eaten. How awesome is that? I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locust, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I send among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I was so tempted to start with that scripture, like classic, you know. I wanted to jump to the promise. It was just like to the restoration part. I wanted to say, hallelujah. But what we're speaking about today is the road to restoration. The road to restoration, where we must trust God to wake up, to become aware of what is in our hearts. I want to ask you tonight is, what is the burden in your heart? What is the one thing that you are thinking, why is no one doing anything about this? Why? What is that thing in your heart, that burden? And I want you to go and ask God why that burden is on your heart. And ask him that you'll become aware of that and what he wants to do in your life with that. And then there's a part where we can cry out to God and where we can lament about things in our own life, lost, or our country. But the thing is, if we don't come to terms with stuff in your own life, it's hard for us to cry out to others. It's such a personal testimony for me to share after a year that I resigned here. And my topic is the road to restoration. And there was a time in my life where I realized I can become a professional Christian now if I want to. A professional Christian. Because you kind of know what to say, you know, of om het goed weg te kom, before you get too close to me, ek bid vir jou. You know, stuff like that. But I had to make a decision and come to terms with where I am at. And there was some mourning and weeping and crying out. I can promise you that. I was onder die curve het gedraai. And here I'm standing a year later, and the topic that I have to preach about. And I didn't make this topic up. It was a Joel wat ek moes gaan worstel het mee. And it's the road to restoration. So tonight I can testify and say hallelujah. But I didn't jump from a year. I didn't jump that year. I had to walk through it. And now I can stand here differently than last year this time. And that is the promise. What is the years of the locusts that God is asking and saying? I will, kan ons gou weer terug gaan na daai twee vorige, die eerste skrif van die promise, sorry Joel. I will repay you for the years of the locusts. What is that for you? And you know, when I read the scripture, I think, yo, is hier nie soos gee my, you know, consuming and stuff nie. But this is, there's a block in our hearts that cannot receive a lot of times. Why? Because I think if we really receive the promise of God in your own life and the promise of God in our country, that will be mind-blowing. And the enemy knows that as well. And I think the two biggest threats for the enemy is if we know who God is and if we know who we are in Him. And with that, I want to ask you, do you think that's possible to fully know God and to fully know who you are? Do you think it's possible? You swear. Now I want to ask that because sometimes we set that standard for ourselves and then we condemn ourselves. And we walk in shame because I'm not there yet. I'm all anders like of hulle weet wie hulle is. And, you know, God is merciful, good, but I don't fully know Him. What are you talking about? Scripture says we only see in part. Just to give you a breather there. But what we can do is to know Him and become like Him. Become like Him. To know Him more and more. So every day, if we just say, God, one step at a time. What is the burden in my heart? Awake my soul. Make me come in touch with my own emotions so that my heart can break for what is going on in our country. What is this? I want to cry out and I want to come and say sorry that I'm walking with offense, that I'm walking with unforgiveness, that I'm walking with shame, that I'm not receiving your promise. I want to turn to you with all my heart again, Father. And you come closer. And this is the promise that I read, Father. I'm receiving it. Not because I deserve it. Not because I deserve it. But because freely you gave. And may I give what I freely received. Because what are we giving? What are we giving if we don't sit at the Father's feet and receive it? I thought I had a lot of grace for people. And then I went to Germany. And I always said, like, I said it there. And they are very straightforward. I love it. Like, I said, I have so much grace for other people, but I don't have any for myself. And then this one guy just looked at me and said, how can you give something you don't have? And I was like, ek het hierdie so lank geglo. I've never thought of that common sense, you know. What are we giving? Are we giving because we want to feel better about ourselves? We want to keep on sugarcoating where we actually have to go and sit and have a reality check before God, before friends that you trust. Be vulnerable and just get it out in the light. Oh, no, I'll rather serve. This makes me feel very good, you know. Awesome to serve. But why are we serving? Why are you doing what you're doing at the moment? Why are we doing what we're doing? And to come to a place of God, ek is moeg vir druppeltjies gegooi. You know, I want to overflow. Help me to overflow again. And if that means that I have to have a lot of heart-to-heart, sitting, crying, mourning, coming to terms with where I'm at, repenting. Help me to do that, Father. Help me to do that. And that is courage, people. That is courage, so that we can love others as we love ourselves. And that is something I had to repent about. I had to repent with not accepting who I am fully and walking in that and receiving what God is saying about me. And there was a time where I felt like every day for a month, I have to write down three things that I believe God's saying over my life and about me. And then I have to write three things about Him, pray for three people, and say thank you for three things. And I remember I started doing it, and at one point I was like, oh, no, God, ek moet eers sê hoe cool U is before you tell me now who I am here. And it just came to mind like this, I loved you first. And this feels so weird because everything we're doing in life is we try to deserve it. Nothing comes easy. This cannot come so easy. And I can tell you this, it didn't come easy. Jesus Christ had to die. And we can have that promise because of Jesus Christ. He came to fulfill it. By His stripes, we are healed. So this was a very, 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 very expensive gift that we a lot of times say no thank you for. May we receive that tonight. May we come to terms with where we are at, because God is not intimidated with where you are at. He was here. And there's one scripture that I also just want to refer to, and it's in Luke 7, where the woman, they refer to her as the a woman who sinned or a sinner. And a Pharisee invited Jesus to come and eat with him. And then she came and wept at his feet. And she washed his feet with her tears. And the Pharisees looked down upon it. You know, what is happening here? And you can go to jog. I can you say stop. You can skip. He saw. How can he restore the years? It says by deepening your communion with Christ. So this woman, she, ek wil eindelijk vir julle daai skrifie lees. Sorry, gee my net gou. Jesus saw them because they said, what's going on here now? Can you speak with this woman? She's a sinner and, you know, classic Pharisee story. And then he said, therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Much she has been forgiven, so now she can love much. So it's so weird because we think we have to deserve it, and we want to love much, but we just don't get to a place where we feel like, I can. And why do I feel so dry? Why do my, ek is so baie bid, give me a heart of flesh again, God. Ek was so hard in my heart. And you know, that doesn't just change overnight. I wish it did. But it's like seasons. It's just die blaarkie. I always say, if you're in a winter season, spiritually, stop fighting it and start embracing it. Gaan koop vir jou serpie, you know? Gaan koop vir jou 'n mooi serpie. Because in that season, you will receive keys so that you can be ready for summer. So may we come to terms with reality. May the restoration be so much more. Because what is impossible for God? And then multiplying your fruitfulness. So with those years that feels lost, trust God that He will multiply it. And then bringing long-term gain from short-term loss. And there's two examples that I just want to refer to here. And the one is Ruth, the book of Ruth. And she lost her husband, and she went with her mother-in-law to another country. There was a lot of loss there. And then she just started working in the fields. Don't want to say you know the story, but I'll tell the story how it goes. And she just faithfully worked, you know, not denying where she's at, but faithfully going, stoppy for stoppy, you know. And then in the end, Boaz was there, and everything was redeemed. Okay, but in the midst of that, I can just imagine. That's just my perspective. But she must have had questions. Like, you know, I'm a Moabite in those days. Now she has to go as a widow with a mother-in-law to another country. Willingly, she's doing this. But she and her husband died. That was a short-term loss. The long-term gain is that Ruth is King David's oma. So she's actually in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So something that might feel so hectic that you do not, I will keep on denying this because this is just too hard, might be stealing the promise that's waiting. So may we come to terms and start walking in that field, whatever it is for you tonight. And the other example is Jesus Christ. His ministry years was 30 till 33. And it was cut short. Why? Because of our sin that he took on himself. That was short-term loss for long-term gain. Definitely for us as well. And I, for one, I'm scared of suffering. You know, I'm scared to bring to light the fears that's in my heart. And what if that happens? Or, you know, and if you look at the Bible, there's so much suffering, but there's a God that's in control. And I don't know who of you knows what Joel means. The name Joel is from the Hebrew that means Yahweh is God. That is the name of the book, Joel. So Joel means Yahweh is God. And may we know this as we face the waking up part, the becoming aware part, the mourning part, the lament part, the repenting, and the receiving the promise. Because Yahweh is God. And because He is God, I can do those things. And I can trust to live a life that's a life in abundance, that can overflow to others. So I just want us to speak to each other. Yeah, just to turn, we are also in a season, like globally, shofar, where we are trusting for the harvest. And, you know, when we see something that's painful, or we want to think like, what can we do about this? That's the immediate thing. Or, you know, I want to fix it. I think, I just think of an example of, like, for example, my mother. When I'm going through a tough time, she always says, "Sabine, kom net insluk en dan vir my deur het gaan." You know, it's like we want to fix it. We want to walk the road for people. We want to let someone else walk the road for us, or, you know, just not come to terms. And I think for them, the first year when the locusts came, they might still have thought like, let's fix this, you know, kos plant weer, trust. And then the second year came, and the third year came. And I think someone mentioned that it might be 4 years, they're guessing, But 4 years of that tragedy over and over. And I think then you come to a place where you feel like, I cannot fix this. God, I cannot fix this. And he says, cry out to me. Cry out to me. And may the things that you just want to fix tonight, may we come and mourn. May we come and cry out to God. May we repent for trying to be God of our own lives. May we say, Yahweh is God. In Him I will trust. Because I want to figure this out, but He has already. In Him I will trust. So just where you sit, if you are at a place where you feel like, you know, I am at the wake up part. You are talking, but there's nothing. Like, I don't know what's the burden in my heart. And wake up might seem hard. Let's say become aware. If that's you, then as we pray together now, come to God and say, make me aware. Bring an urgency. Help me to have an urgency to pray for the lost again. Just help me to get in touch with my emotions. Help me to wake up, Father. And when you feel like you just have to cry tonight, you have to cry. You don't have answers. You actually feel, I feel specifically people that's really depressed. And you've been keeping, there was a word in intercession before, you've been keeping your awesome in, actually, like, and you just have to, if that's you and you just want to cry and you want to say, I don't have any energy to even repent or lament, or I don't know, you just want to cry out. If that's you tonight, may you have the space here to do that. And if there's things that you feel convicted about tonight to repent about, for too long I have been trying to do this out of my own strength. For too long I have been running from reality. For too long I've been walking with a fence. For too long I struggle now to forgive. And that's hard. It's hard to forgive. But let God be the judge. And you receive your freedom so that you can walk. And if you don't have any promises over your life tonight, I trust for clarity and for vision. In Jesus' name. And if there's a promise, but you don't know how to receive it, I trust that we will come to terms that we will never be enough, and that we will receive it by the grace of God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is alive. Thank you that through the ages we can learn from your word, that your love is alive and that you're winning the fight for us. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are the comforter. And as the promise also say, that you will pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us. And I trust that you will come and reveal purpose, direction, identity, and that we will be strong and courageous, knowing that you are with us wherever we go, and that you are God, and that we can be still and know that you are God. Father, as that song says, awake my soul. I pray that you will come and awake our souls. And Father, I for one come and say sorry for where I want to fix, where I'm running to people and almost speaking to people about God before I speak to God about the people. And I pray, God, that we will come to that intimate place with you, Father. Come and restore the intimate place. I pray for a hunger for your word, Lord. I pray that we will worstle with the text, Father. I pray that we will druk deur daai eerste 10 minute of, I don't want to read, but that we will get fit in reading your Bible, Father, in reading your word.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.